This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
Love that NFL Films music. Welcome back, Cap and Haw, Comcast Sports Center, WGN Plus. Huge thanks to Eddie George. I got to tell you, I had never dealt with him before. Class act.
Yeah, he definitely is.
That guy's impressive.
Having been around him a little bit, a few Super Bowls, and you know, he's a pretty visible, accessible former player. He does represent the NFL very well, and represents the Titans and Ohio State. And boy, it seems like you look at all the things that he's sort of dabbled in, and he's been successful with. Yeah, he's impressive.
312-235-2525. Interesting that he teaches a class trying to help athletes understand how to be a pro.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, he's a great example. I mean, he's a great guy to teach it. Education, what was his umbrella? Entrepreneurship, education. See, I can't even remember what they were. I'm going to be a bad student in that class. But he, you know, he's a finished product, Cap. He's polished. He gets it. He was one of those examples that came through. You know, he represents all that's good about college sports and all that, you know, made the best of his opportunities in the NFL. Interesting perspective on the Bears. I think that when he talks about them lacking, you know, leadership, that one leader, that's not a knock. It's not a criticism of a Jay Cutler. It's not a criticism of anybody. It's really just acknowledging what is there and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the face of this franchise? Who is the face of the Bears? The guy that you say, like he said, you has the effect on people when they see him lead, they want to follow.
They don't have one.
Kyle Long might be as close to a natural leader.
Tough
but
for a third-year offensive lineman.
That is tough. It is tough for an offensive lineman. You know, Matt Forte has been there a long time.
Quiet.
He's got sort of the quiet personality.
And a leader doesn't blow off the piccolo luncheon.
Well, that's... true. There's no way around that.
It is what it is. I'm not criticizing him. I'm just stating a fact. If you're the leader of the team, you do everything right.
You couldn't imagine Olin Krutz doing that.
Never.
Brian Urlacher actually made concessions to be here when he was the award winner.
Even though he was mad about his contract.
Yeah.
Same situation.
So I think he raises a very good point. And in a sport that values chemistry as much as football does, football and hockey, I think, might be the two are the biggest sports that rely on chemistry with, you know, throughout a season. It's something to keep an eye on. There is really no face of this Bears franchise. It's faceless right now. He also was fair about Jay Cutler. I think that there are a lot of people that believe what he believes and that he's not the kind of quarterback that is ever going to bring you a championship. He didn't rip him necessarily. But as I wrote this morning, and I think we talked about it some yesterday, the state of the Bears right now, a few days before training camp, Jay Cutler may be a concern, but he's not at the top of the list. You have linebackers you don't know who they are. You've got a defensive front that you don't know how they fit. You got an offensive line you don't know where they're going to play. And you've got a secondary that, frankly, hasn't proven anything.
Great bearded viper, Rick Morrissey.
The great bearded viper.
He's a little more concerned about Cutty.
He does
not want to hear...
That's
he's
reflex.
A different guy. He's matured. He's got another child.
That's instinct, though, isn't it? I mean, I think it's instinctive in this town to, you know, kind of look at the quarterback and say, you know, this is a problem here. This is going to dictate everything else. This is the season where Jay Cutler has never been less relevant to what happens in Chicago.
Yeah,
you're right.
He's just a passenger along on the ride.
He just is.
Right.
He will get most of the attention, and most of it will be nonsense. Most of it will be undeserved. It won't be all his fault if they stink. Okay? Get used to that idea. It won't be all Jay Cutler's fault if the Bears stink. It probably won't be all his credit if they're better than we think. But I think Jay Cutler could go through this season and have a decent year, as you pointed out yesterday. He could have a decent year, and they could still be bad.
Mm-hmm.
He could have a good year statistically, and they could still be bad.
No question.
They are playing. They're playing both sides of the football here, and their defense continues to be the biggest problem. I don't care how smart Vic Fangio is. You know, how is it that the smartest coaches tend to be the guys who coach the Pro Bowlers?
I looked at his numbers. I mean, he's had some serious bad teams, defenses.
Well, I pointed out a couple this morning. His last year with the Colts and his last year with the Titans were the big reasons why they were his last year there. They were last in scoring in the league, I think second to last in one of those seasons, giving up about 30 points a game. When you don't have talent, it doesn't matter what your scheme looks like. If you have marginal talent, if you have sort of middle-of-the-road talent, you can scheme your way into contention. But I don't even know if the Bears are at that point where they can say that they have middle-of-the-road talent. Let's look up front for an example. They're 3-4. The three guys that they're going to put up front, they're going to rely on Jay Ratliff, who I think turns 34 in August, or Eddie Goldman, who is a rookie. Now, both ends of the spectrum, you have problems there. Those are two key guys in your defense that you're relying upon. You really don't know what you have in Eddie Goldman. You think you have a lot, but you really don't know how durable Jay Ratliff is going to be. He's a guy that, you know, is at the end of the road. So what do you really have up front? You have question marks. Oh, but you know what? They'll be bailed out by those linebackers because you run a 3-4 now, and you got those four linebackers to be so dynamic. Really? Who are they? If Shea McClellan is a lock on this roster, it's not a roster hard to make.
When Eddie was sitting there and you said to him, we got Jared Allen, he goes, he's not a Bear.
Right.
He said, he's on the team.
In terms of leadership. Right.
He said that
that was off the air. We had the conversation.
Bring a guy in that isn't like established on that team, like Blance Briggs and Brian Urlacher
respect.
Were, is what he said.
Longevity. Yeah, those are kind of things. You know, and defensively, their linebackers are kind of nondescript guys. You know, Pernell McPhee is your big ticket free agent.
Yep.
Is he worth the $38 million investment? We'll find out.
We're going to find out.
Lamar Houston's coming back. Is he going to be healthy enough? Is he going to be good enough? What do you have in Lamar Houston? You still don't know. What about your safeties? Are you much better?
Willie Young, can he come back from Achilles quickly?
That was in December.
Right.
Do you think he's going to come back in September, 10 months later? That's an Achilles injury. Is he going to have the same kind of burst? I don't know. So when I look at that defense and who they have and who they don't have, it's a big project to rebuild. I think it's you're fooling yourself if you think that a smart defensive coordinator is going to make all the difference in the world. I think you're overstating the progress of a Kyle Fuller by saying his rookie season was something that tells you he's going to be a Pro Bowl player. Good, started good, didn't finish that way. I sound really pessimistic right now talking about the Bears, don't I?
It is what it is.
But I don't know that there's any – I don't want to create any sort of false hope here. Offensively, I think they'll be okay. Okay. I mean, I think you have some skill position options there. You have some really good players.
I think they'll be decent offensively. I think they will be woeful defensively. And in the end, you'll go, tough season.
That was what we thought it was. Now, if they are the surprise, if they're as big of a surprise in a positive way as they were in a negative way last year, I think we all will be glad to talk about it, give them credit, and move on. But I just think that, you know, you have to be you just have to grasp reality here, and the reality is the Bears don't have a lot of difference makers on defense. And they are still paying for poor drafts and never really planning for the ends of the careers of a Charles Tillman, of a Lance Briggs, of a Brian Urlacher, guys who were longtime veterans here. They never really thought through this succession plan. And last year it all fell apart. Dysfunction in the locker room, lack of respect and leadership. It was just one big hot mess.
It was a hot mess.
Yeah, it was.
It was. Hey, can I change the topic for a second?
Your dime, your dance floor, Cap.
Thanks, Chet. By the way, he'll be coming in, I think, next week.
Who?
With Chet Doug Kopic? Buffon book.
Chet Kopic?
Yeah, he wrote the book on his late friend, Doug Buffon. So yesterday, I left here to go do an event for the Missouri Valley. I walk out the front of the building, and Hammacher Schlemmer is no longer in the...
That was a great store.
It was awesome.
That was a great store.
I didn't buy a lot there, but it was fun to walk around.
Yeah.
Hammacher Schlemmer's not there, and that museum that we had there is gone. And I walk out, and I see it's a candy store.
Wow. And the sky was blue.
I don't ever go out the front of the building. Well, I come in
from
the lot.
Why do you not go out the front of the building? Oh, that's right, because you have the big hot shot parking spot.
I forgot, off the loading dock.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, you know, those of us who have to come in the front actually go by the candy store, and we know that it's been there since November.
I had no idea.
How do you not have any idea?
I've never come in that door.
So you tweet. So
I walk out. I go, wait a minute. What the heck is that? So I stick my head in. I'm like, this place is awesome.
Dylan's
Candy. So I couldn't stay. I had to go do the event. I leave. I go do this Missouri Valley Conference thing. I walk all the way back. And I walk back, and I said, I'm going to buy my wife. She does not like chocolate much. She likes toffee. I'm like, I'm going to see if they got toffee in there. I walk in. I bought a thing of M&M's for the office. I made it in layers, multicolors. I bought with a little candy jar. I bought her toffee, and I bought her some cinnamon crunch fudge. And I took a picture of the store inside, and I tweeted it out, like, the greatest store ever. Haw's like, yeah, they got this cool burger place called the Billy Goat now, too.
Yeah, welcome to downtown. Welcome to Michigan Avenue.
I had no idea that existed, let alone in our building.
Did you know Michael Jordan has a restaurant, too?
No.
Right across the street. Did you know that? Wow. Yeah.
I had no
idea. Ditka has a restaurant, too. Did you know that?
Who?
Yeah.
I had no idea we had a candy store.
It's a cool place.
Really? Candyman can, cause he mixes it with lava, makes the world taste good. So what's your favorite kind of candy?
I'm not a big candy guy.
I am.
What's your favorite kind of candy? I don't really like a lot of candy.
Chocolate covered cherries. I don't mean the kind that are gooey. I'm talking about like dried cherries with chocolate over them. Those are spectacular. Chocolate covered peanuts. M&M's.
I like M&M's. I like Reese's peanut butter cups.
I'm not a peanut butter guy much. A little. With jelly, a little. But they got everything in there. Mike, have you been in there?
Yes, sir.
What are you, 12?
Oh, my God. That store was...
Well, it was one of those things when the game was still around, RIP, we went in there to check it out. I think me and Julie and a couple of people, because it was just built, because us people that walk out through the front door every day, we've seen it many times.
Many times.
And it was like the grand opening, so we went in there.
I think Cap likes it because when you walked in, you walk by it, he looks in, and there's all of these bright colors. It looks like your closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's like your closet with all these different bright colors staring
at
you.
Lots of distractions. Like he has nowhere to go because over here there's jelly beans.
Oh my gosh.
And over there there's Milky Way.
Do I go for the jelly beans? No. Do I go for the toffee? No. I have to go straight ahead for the chocolate.
The other thing that I like about it, most candy stores like Fannie Mae.
I like Fannie Mae.
Fannie Mae's okay. My late grandmother worked there.
Yeah, that would be my favorite.
No.
Yeah.
This crushes Fannie Mae. Crushes.
I don't know about crushes.
Dylan's Candies.
Look, how do you quantify your favorite chocolate?
Because I like a store.
Crushes. It would crush Fannie Mae 4-0.
Because I like, it'd be like 16-0. It'd be a blowout, like the first game ever at the U.S. Cellular Field. I like bulk candy, where you go in, you get the little plastic bag, take the little scooper, put in what you want, mix it all up, and then go over, they weigh it, and you pay for it. They got bulk up the wazoo in there.
You want them to be a sponsor or something?
Bring it on.
See, that's what it is. You want some sort of deal.
No.
You want some sort of deal.
I'm staying out of there. I'm staying out.
Why?
Because you can't eat that stuff. I bought it for my wife, and I'm out.
And you brought some in here.
All I did was bring M&M's in so Mike and Matt and Pat can have coloring M&M's.
Not me? Am I not allowed?
No, because
I don't get any.
You're picking on me.
Okay.
Did you take a picture with an employee and tweet it out? At Dylan's. Did you do that?
No, I just took a picture of the inside of the store.
Just the inside. You didn't take a... I figured you'd take a picture with an employee.
No.
It's more your style.
No. Just a picture of all the bright colors and the bulk bins.
I'm glad you found it.
Oh, my God.
See how the rest of us live.
It's awesome.
That's cool.
So if you're on Michigan Avenue, head over to Dylan's Candies. It's... pretty special.
It's special.
Pretty awesome.
It is.
Anyway, 312-235.
Big day for Davey yesterday.
25-25. By the way, Christina Quinn from Comcast SportsNet. Are you aware that we have a huge chocolate candy factory right outside our station called Blommers? Hello?
Yes, you can smell it.
You can smell it from the office.
Yes, Chicago. Yeah.
I have been there, Christina. Yes, you're very funny.
But they don't have these bright colors, and they don't have the, like all the different variety.
It's a factory. Go to Dylan's. That's where it's at. Now they put a little like cafe in there. Oh.
Yeah, I saw
that. I'll guarantee you the milkshakes in there have got to be like crack. Oh. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV app in Glenview. The Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into app today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them at 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience. Shop apt, ABT. App.com asks for the great Steve Shapiro, app-pleasing people since 1936. Again, our deepest sympathies to the App family on the passing of their owner, Bob App, the CEO of the company. He passed away yesterday. We'll take a time out. We'll come right back. This is Cap'n Haw.
Now, more Cap'n Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN+.
Is anything different when it's your birthday on a Wednesday going into work?
You know, my wife said happy birthday this morning. It was like, oh, I forgot. It's not, you know, it's... When anything happens in football season, I don't care what the holiday, it really is hard to, I appreciate people calling, but it really is hard to almost acknowledge personally that something different is happening because you're in such a sort of a routine of what you feel needs to do to get the team ready to play the game.
Okay, he needs a dose of reality.
What do you mean?
He doesn't know it's his own birthday. That's ridiculously stupid.
You think that makes him
that
unique?
That was Nick Saban with Sam Ponder.
You think that makes Nick Saban unique among college football coaches?
Yes.
I don't.
Most coaches know it's their own birthday.
Well, I
And if they don't, they need to be taken out and smacked.
I think he probably is playing that up a little bit, but I think that he realized it was his own birthday, but decided not to acknowledge it or was focused on something else.
If he had said, yeah, it's my birthday, my wife said happy birthday, I don't really get caught up in it, I'm in the season, okay, I'll give you that. I didn't even know it. That just sounds so stupid and self-absorbed.
Well, yeah,
it sounds like a clown show.
Yeah, he's really unsuccessful. It's really hurting him.
I never said that.
His lack of awareness is really killing his career.
I never said that. I'm just saying that when you say, not you, you say, hey, happy birthday. I didn't even know it was my birthday. You know what? Lighten up, dude. You're a football coach who makes $8 million a year. You really need a dose of reality.
Why does he bother you so much?
I can't stand Nick Saban.
Nick Saban?
Can't stand
Why?
Him. Why? Because he's a jerk. I've dealt with him. He's a jerk.
Okay,
you've had a grade-A jackass.
You've had a bad experience with Nick Saban from a media standpoint that does not make him a jerk.
He's a jerk.
No, it doesn't make it. No, he's not a jerk. He's an outstanding football coach who probably is prone to mood swings like a lot of people in that profession.
Look.
What about you? No, listen. No, you cannot call Nick Saban a jerk, a guy who has a lot of friends in the college basketball profession who have been prone to their own jerky moments, but not with you because you're your friends. So I'm sure Nick Saban has friends of his that would think that you're ridiculous by calling him a jerk.
No, I could call someone a jerk who I've had an interaction with, who I think is a jerk, and is not the kind of guy I would ever want to play football for. Not that I was ever good enough to do that. I just, a guy who doesn't know it's his own birthday strikes me as a guy who's so self-important that he's a flipping football coach making tens of millions of dollars. He needs a dose of reality. Like Eddie George said, there are people that can't brush their own teeth, that can't get out of bed. And this idiot doesn't even know it's his own birthday. Not my kind
of
guy.
You want some more perspective from him, not reality necessarily. You like him to have more perspective.
Yes.
I think he's in a bottom line industry where he's rewarded for wins and losses, and he probably doesn't have a lot of balance in his life because he's chosen to be the type of coach who has a maniacal focus. And if you were an Alabama fan or if you were a fan of the team that Nick Saban coached in college, you'd probably appreciate that a lot more than you do as Dave Kaplan, the media guy who got blown off in a bad interview.
I didn't get blown off.
We're not blown off. He had a bad experience with Nick Saban.
He was fine when he did it. He was just... He's just not my kind of guy.
So you and Plaxico Burress have a lot in common in that regard.
I look at a guy like Coach K. Coach K is the equivalent of Nick Saban in terms of success and status and all of it. Coach K is not like that. He's not
Your
the same.
Your experiences with Coach K being a Chicago have been better, but I think that there are people in the industry that don't have great opinions of Mike Krzyzewski.
Okay, Bo Ryan. There's a guy who went to the national championship game.
You could come up with a lot of guys that I know. I understand that, but I don't know that you can just have a blanket statement about Nick Saban's personality because he rubs you the wrong way. You can say that for yourself, but I don't think it's fair to say that he's an immensely successful coach. I think you're disrespecting him by suggesting that he's just a bad guy.
I didn't say bad guy. I say he's a jerk.
Okay.
I'm going to have to
look up the definition and the difference there.
He may be a wonderful father, and he's a damn good football coach, all of that. Not my kind of guy. Not my cup of tea.
So if the Bears would have hired him in 2004, you would have been?
I would not be all in. It's not my kind of guy. And he was a dismal failure in the NFL.
Well, he was almost, there have been reports, he's got the book out, Nick Saban. This is the one that was in our office this week. We heard reports about the Giants nearly hiring Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. Colts nearly hiring Nick Saban. Well, the Bears were right there in 2004.
They were meeting at his house.
They were at his house. They had made an offer. Jerry Angelo and Ted Phillips were down there. That was right before they hired Lovie Smith, and right after they fired Dick Geron. And Nick Saban was the hot coach, the hot college coach, and his agent was Jimmy Sexton. And the Bears made a run at him, and had they been willing to cede more power to Nick Saban and also pay him more money than the $2.5 million they ultimately offered,
he was taking the job.
He would have been the next Bears head coach. At that point, I don't think he's as good of a fit in the NFL as he is at college for a lot of the reasons that you just, articulated.
Yeah, the same guy who was the head coach of the Dolphins, he's meeting with Wayne Huizenga, and he tells them, I'm not going anywhere. Stop asking me about Alabama. While his wife's having lunch with the AD, Mal Moore, and 2 days later, he's the new head coach at Alabama. Come on, man. That's not quality.
There's a lot of coaches that have played that.
I'm not saying they haven't.
Dual purpose game. A lot of coaches have said one thing and done another.
I want to know why a coach, this really goes to college coaches, because pros, they're under contract, they can't just leave. College coaches, why when they're the head coach at X and Y is reportedly after them and the media says, what about job Y? Why can't you just answer it like this? I'm the head coach at X University. You can ask me anything you want about that job. I don't talk about other schools. Are you involved interviewing there? I don't talk about other schools. Well, would you take that job? You want to ask me about my team? Let's talk. Instead of saying, I'm not going there. And then 2 days later, you're there. That's just BS.
It happens, though. It happens all the time.
Agreed.
It happens all the time.
Not my kind
of
guy.
Well, then you're limiting your pool of guys who you're going to like and respect as college coaches.
Maybe.
I think that I didn't realize you had this sort of animosity with Nick Saban, or else I would have. So you were using that book as a doorstop in the office.
Yeah, I'm not. I have no interest in having that guy on.
So list of people who you like least, where does Saban compare with Joe Theismann? Because wow. You can be a couple texts. 773, you can be successful and also be a jerk. I agree with Cap. Who does Cap dislike more, Saban or Joe Theismann? And do you really believe he doesn't know his birthday? I mean, when somebody says that, don't you think they're just sort of saying that?
You don't just say that.
How does a guy who is as intelligent and aware as Nick Saban has to be successful at his job, really not know when his birthday is?
Then don't say it.
If
you think it makes you sound
something
cool,
you say, he probably said during
birthday.
An interview, a throwaway line. Not everybody is as smooth and polished as an Eddie George. Nick Saban has had
a lot of practice.
Well, and a lot of he's needed a lot of practice. He's not a guy who's comfortable being interviewed. He's not a guy who's good at being interviewed. He's gotten better in his little role with when he puts a suit on and goes to sit next to Kirk Herbstreit when he's not coaching and the bold analysis. He's pretty good at that. Look, Cap, if you were an athletic director of, you know, whatever university and you were starting a college football program and you wanted to hire one head coach, I mean, you don't go deeper than two when before Nick Saban's name comes up.
Who's the other one, Urban?
Yeah, Urban Meyer, Nick Saban. It's either or right
now.
Yeah,
because Urban, his guys never got in trouble at Florida. I'll give Saban, most of his guys stay out of trouble. Urban, it was like a litany of felonies.
So you wouldn't hire him?
Who?
Urban Meyer.
Probably not.
You wouldn't hire Urban Meyer, and you wouldn't hire Nick Saban. Well, you're not going to last very long at the athletic director position, so we hope you're good at broadcasting.
There's other good coaches.
You're going to have to be.
There's other good coaches.
I didn't say there weren't other good coaches. I didn't say that there weren't other guys that I would
Urban at least seems
respect.
To me to be a better guy. I don't
when
know.
You're recognizing, when you're starting a list of the best coaches in college football, your number one on your list is either Urban Meyer or Nick Saban. And you really can't argue with that. And if you do argue with that, I'll tell you to stick to baseball.
I'm not disputing that they're great coaches and they're the best. They're just not my kind of guys, especially Saban. Not my kind of guy. We'll take a timeout. I'll never hold back. I always tell you the truth. Not a fan. Root against them. Not roll tide. Slide tide. Down, down, down tide.
What's slide tide?
Get them down. I'm done with them. 312-235-2525. Be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
We've got Rocky Wirtz in our studio today.
There are other owners that have won that don't get the public adulation that you get. Why do you think that is?
For whatever reason, I'm still surprised. I grew up, if you started just getting the W out for Wirtz, you start booing. I mean, you would be at the grocery store, and no one asks you, can I take these bags out for you? They'd say, here, they'd hand them to you. People thought it'd be more of the same after Dad passed away.
Did you go to him at times and go, Dad, why don't we try something different?
Probably try not to do it right before Thanksgiving, because that dinner would not be a good dinner. After his passing, I did what I thought was right for the organization and for the companies, is I would run any of the companies the same way, and you'd have to take your emotion and put it on the side and do what's right.
Rocky Wirtz, who spent about a half hour in our studio yesterday. This is Cap'n Hawk, Comcast Sportsnet, and WGN Plus.
And then he went down to the fourth floor and met with the Trib editorial board, and I heard that was a pretty good turnout for that meeting.
Really?
And he had a pretty good time, so that was nice to host Rocky Wirtz and take a picture with him, and that picture got a lot of comments yesterday on the Twitter machine.
A lot of comments.
You know what? One question is, you're taking care of yourself. You're working out. Mm-hmm. That's good. You have the regimen going after mm-hmm. every day. You brace out of here at 12:01 to get mm-hmm. your workout. You kind of beat us everyone out the door. Mm-hmm. They were complimenting your, you know, physique. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me if you were flexing in the photo.
Oh, God. No.
Yes, they did. I said, and then, you know what my response was? Probably.
Nice, thanks. By the way, on the Twitter machine,
yeah.
Kevin Lynch says, Cap, been listening to the show with you and Hall all day. If Wood gets you Hamels, I'm sending Clayton Richard for Granky.
Yeah, exactly. That was the dumbest trade proposal of many trade proposals.
Frank Nacchio 19 on Twitter, at Shy Twin 19, says, Nick Saban may be an a-hole, but as an Illini fan, I wish he was our a-hole.
Yes.
We were the Alabama of the Big Ten.
I think that speaks for itself. Look, Cap. Would you consider yourself, now that he's in the part of the CSN family, at least was last year, Dave Wannstedt, nice guy. Good guy, mm-hmm. Dave Wannstedt, right?
Great guy.
I think from a human standpoint, guy you want to be around, likable, considerate,
good
all those
person.
Things. Good person. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that Wani, in the midst of all his workaholic nature in the any given Bears season, if his birthday was November 21st, do you think he would have woke up one day and not known it? Yeah, I think so. These coaches, holidays mean nothing to them.
I'm not saying it means nothing. He would know.
No. I bet Wani would be so oblivious to reality that there'd be days where he would not realize.
Although, in your defense, kind of defeats my argument, I was covering the team. I was on the beat. And Dan Bernstein was on the beat. And Dan said, hey, you got two daughters. What'd they go as for Halloween today? It was like a Friday. We were at Old Hallis Hall. And I will never forget when he goes, when's Halloween? He said, today. He's like, didn't even know that.
Well, he's a bad guy.
But
how can he not know when Halloween is?
Hold on a second.
He's a jerk.
Halloween versus
now we're gonna
your
weigh
own birthday?
The importance of holidays.
You got to know when your birthday is, man. Come
Halloween
on.
Affects your children. Your birthday only affects yourself.
Yeah, but you write it down on any application you fill out. Enough, everything. When is your birthday? I don't know. Well, Nick Saban.
It's not so much he doesn't know when his birthday is. He doesn't know what day it is. That's the point, is that you're so consumed with the routine, you're a slave to ritual, that you don't realize the calendar even exists. You know when your birthday is. You're not stupid because you do fill out all the time. But you just aren't aware that the day you were born fell on the day that you just woke up because you're not paying attention to the days. They all run together when you're a college football coach as successful and driven as Nick Saban is. So I get it, Cap. I get it.
It's not my kind of guy.
Okay. But Wani forgetting his kids trick-or-treating. Come on down, Wani. Give me a hug. Because I like you and I don't like Nick because St. Nick was not so saintly with me on Sports Talk Live.
No, he was on Cap Sports Central, me and Waddle.
Okay. let's take a call. So unless you have something else you want to pick on.
No.
Okay.
I'm good. Let's go back to the phones. Ron in Chicago. Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, Ron.
How you doing, Cap?
What's up?
You're absolutely
hey, say
correct.
Hi to David Haw. He's here too, buddy.
Say, Ron.
Hello, Dave.
Oh, hello.
You're absolutely
hello.
Correct, Cap. He Saban's a moron. Everyone knows their birthday from age three. Their grandparents, everybody tells them it's their birthday. School tells them, the teacher tells them, everybody tells them. Other guys, like, let's say, Joe Madden, would say, it's my birthday, and then give a cute smile. This guy, if he just played it straight and said, I don't know, he's a moron, and you're right.
Ron, thanks. Have a good weekend, buddy. Oh, hey, Dave.
Yeah, whatever. Missed the point.
AJ in Danville. Hey, AJ.
Hello.
Hi,
what's
AJ.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I just want to clarify the JJ, neither one of them stands for jerk.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And I want to know how Kazmir, who was on the Cubs' radar for quite a while, all at once slips over to Houston for a couple of Class A pitchers. I must have missed something because he would have been a fill-in for us, you know, in our race for the wild card, which I don't think we got as much chance catching the Giants as we do the Cardinals in a wild card race, but he would have been a good fill-in. Second of all, I'd like to know what you think our chances of getting Hayward away from the Cardinals at the end of the season. Fowler's doing a pretty good job in center field for what we're paying him, but we sure could use Hayward out there in center field. We need the bat, the experience of the bat. A lot of our prospects, I'm not sure that they all make it or how soon they'll make it, but it's nice to have a steady bat.
Well, Jason Hayward, salary-wise, I think is he a free agent after this year?
I think he might be.
I think he is. Jason Hayward is a free agent after this year.
Yeah.
Make it 7.8. Plus, he had a signing bonus rolled in, so he was 8.3 this year. He's unrestricted after this season. He's going to get paid.
Yeah, he's going to get paid big time.
Big time.
Why not the Cubs and Kazmir? Because they would seem to have the prospects equal to the Astros. Just think they didn't want him?
I think they have questions about his health.
And that's enough to keep him away?
Mm-hmm.
He's also a Houston guy, Houston area guy. Probably made a little more sense.
So it's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
312-235-2525. Wintrust is one of our great corporate sponsors, and don't know if you've heard this, but David, some of the big banks in the area have got rid of coin counting. They're claiming it's a small service, more of a hassle than it's worth, and won't make a big impact on the customer. Guess what? Big banks don't understand. It's those small services that really add up. It seems their first priority is making their own lives easier rather than putting the customer first. The Wintrust Community Bank, always happy to count your change for free. Whether you're a customer or not, that's because Wintrust believes counting change is a little thing that adds up to great customer service. Wintrust Community Banks always puts the customer and community first, offering free community coin counting, just one small way that they show a change is good. You can count on your Wintrust Community Bank to count it. Wintrust Community Bank's member, FDIC. Take a quick time out. This is Cap'n Haw. Page two?
Yep.
Page two is next.
Read all about it.
We're desperate for stories. And this one is so compelling.
This is page two.
Welcome back, Cap'n Haw. Wrapping up a week of really fun shows. Good to be back with my man, D-Haw. After you were gone for a week, I was gone for a week. Now we're back together.
Seems like forever.
Yeah, nice to have the show back.
I'm off next week, right?
And rolling.
I'm off next week again? No.
Yeah, funny guy. Anyway, let's get to some page two.
Page two.
You can go first.
All right, you know, we talk so much. And every show and every sports talk radio station and everything is about, what, the trade deadline. And it becomes almost more important than the games themselves. And it becomes such a consumption. It's consuming from a fan standpoint, from a media standpoint. Mm-hmm. I think everybody breathes a sigh of relief when July 31st finally gets here. Because in early June, people start talking, are they buyers or are they sellers? Are they buyers or are they sellers? It gets a bit tiresome. Would you agree?
It does get tiresome.
So yesterday, I just looked at this comment from Rob Manfred, the MLB commissioner, and I just thought, are you kidding me? Quote, I think that the July 31st deadline is something that we may want to revisit in the context of the revised playoff format. Obviously, when you have two additional opportunities to be in the playoffs, you have more teams in the hunt, and they may want to wait a little longer before they make decisions. On the other hand, you've got to remember we want teams at the core of which have been together for the year playing in the postseason, so you have to just balance those two issues, I think. That was in a response to a question about moving back the non-waiver trade deadline from July 31st. And I say, please do not. Please don't.
So we have
don't.
To deal with all these insane trades till August 25th?
I mean, it's really counterproductive to the, I think, to part of the season, the interest in the baseball itself. We don't really spend as much time talking about paying attention to a lot of the things that happen throughout the course of a season because the focus, and it becomes redundant at some point, the focus continues to be on what does this mean in terms of their ability to buy or sell, to trade or not trade. Jeff Samardzija last night, very few people were talking to him about the way that he mastered the Cleveland Indians lineup and this and that, and the baseball itself overlooked. Because why? He was talking about, well, if I better my situation, I can bring more in return and I can get more for the White Sox. Am I going to be traded? I understand. I mean, part of it. But I don't want to push it back. I'd like to push it the other way.
It used to be June 15th.
Remember that? Wasn't
that
great?
When they got Sutcliffe.
Yeah, June 15th, 1984. There big day in Cubby history. Anyway.
All right, how about this? Ryan Wood of the Press Gazette Media crunched the numbers and published a fantastic study, according to Mike Jacobs in the Jackal, that demonstrates just how important Packers GM Ted Thompson has been to the Green Bay Packers' success since he took over as GM back in 2005, 9 years ago. Really, the Packers' success comes down to drafting. According to Wood's study, Packers have drafted the most players, 104, of any team since 2005. In that same time span, Packers draft picks have led the league in starts, 1,860, and games played, 3,267.
That's the model.
That's the model.
That's the model. You can talk about model franchises and winning and all this and that and salary cap management, but when you talk about drafting and developing, the Packers are the class, and there's the Packers, and I think the Seahawks have done a tremendous job of doing that lately. But I think when you see how long Ted Thompson has done that, sustained success.
That's an incredible
stat. You
got to
tip your cap, even though it's the Bears' rival and all those things. That's why they have dominated the Bears in recent years.
That's whack, bro.
All right, sticking with the NFL, little item, probably didn't get much attention outside of the city of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin, mm-hmm. 2-year extension to the 2018 season. Mike Tomlin, 82-46. He's 43 years old. He's only 43 years old.
All he is? He get the job at 17?
Two Super Bowl titles, 82-46. And when you look at the way that he has just established himself as one of the elite NFL coaches, and he is one of the elite NFL coaches. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
You look back and you look at the Miami Dolphins, and he was a finalist for the Miami Dolphins head coaching job. Forget what year it was, but I know who got the job over him. Do you remember who got the job over Mike Tomlin? The Miami Dolphins introduced the next head coach.
Saban?
Cam Cameron.
Oh, that's right.
Cam Cameron gets the job over Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin lands with the Steelers eventually, and now he's locked up through 2018. He's got two Super Bowl titles, 82-46, one of the great examples of the Tony Dungy coaching tree.
It's also a franchise with great stability.
Because of him, too. He has a big part of that.
All right. Robert Allenby, no stranger to a bit of controversy, most notably the mugging and robbery that he was allegedly a victim of in Hawaii earlier this year, an incident that was scrutinized with many questioning the legitimacy of the claims. On Thursday, during the first round of the RBC Canadian Open, Allenby found himself in another odd position, this time on the course. On the 13th hole, Allenby snapped when, after taking a penalty stroke off the tee, his caddy insisted he hit an 8-iron, not a 7-iron, into the wind from 150 yards. Shot came up just short. Allenby ripped into him, leading to a heated exchange between the two on the course. Caddy finished the first nine for Allenby, which was the back nine on the course, before leaving after they finished number 18. This is what Allenby had to say after his round, according to Jason Logan. I said to him, "You know this happens every week. This has happened for like the last 3 or 4 or 5 months. We keep making bad mistakes, and you're not helping me in these circumstances," Allenby said after his first round, 81. And he just lost the plot at me. He just told me I could go F myself. And I said, "Look, you need to slow down. I mean, just calm down." And then he just got right in my face as if he wanted to just beat me up. I said, "Stop being a such and such and calm down and get back in the game." He got even closer, and I said, "That's it. You're sacked."
What a jerk. Now, that's a guy you can call a jerk. If you want to
say the caddy or the golfer?
Well, I think the degree of both were wrong. Well, who do you side with?
I mean, the whole Allenby thing sounds like he's a little bit of a nut. The
caddy doesn't he have a history?
Yeah, he does.
I don't know that I would.
Sounds like he went all Shooter McGavin on him. Remember that?
Shooter McGavin. Refresh my memory.
Happy Gilmore. Did you ever see that movie?
Probably. It doesn't ring a. I mean, I don't remember every line in every movie scene. Fill me in briefly.
Shooter McGavin got rid of his caddy. Made him drop the bag in the middle of the round against Happy Gilmore.
"I think you should use a 5-iron.
You think so?
You're my wedge.
5-iron, huh? Well, you're fine.
That's it. Gone.
I'm starting to think that I miss out on so much by not watching the same inane movies you do.
I'll give you my laptop for the weekend.
Would you please?
Just go through the iTunes playlist.
Oh, my gosh. What have I stumbled on here? Oh, the Caps hit list. There's Joe Theismann's number.
You know, it's funny that I married.
There's Nick Saban's number.
It's funny with my wife in the control room that I married her and that you didn't, because she is like you, the wet blanket of comedy. You guys miss out on so many amazing movies.
Well, see, comedy is in the eye of the beholder. And what you think is funny and what I think is funny, probably two different things. And based on a lot of things that you think are funny, it's very reassuring to me. It sort of is.
Because my wife is right there with you.
Based on the movies that you quote, mimic, bring up, and value on your list of like all-time great movies, it makes me feel a little bit better about mine.
Like Tommy Boy is just one of the great masterpieces ever done.
Okay. Great masterpiece.
Also, one other note, Converse. Thank you. Converse announced a new Chuck Taylor for the first time since 1917.
They have not changed shoes since 1917?
Correct.
You mean the Chuck Taylors have been the same
style? Since 1917.
Wow. Casey Johnson might have to go shopping and shoe shopping
now.
He
and John Williams, both. Yes. They are going to have a whole new lineup of Converse Chuck Taylor All-Stars coming out.
That's cool.
Black, blue, white, and red.
Converse was the first real big, cool shoe that I owned.
Really?
Back in the day. Remember when Dr. J, was it Doc, and Larry Bird were endorsing Converse?
Mm-hmm.
Or Magic Johnson, too, I think.
At one point,
that was
Mark
shoe.
Aguirre, Isaiah, and Magic all were Converse.
That was the shoe. And then, do you remember Pony?
Made
a big push. Pony was big, and then Puma came on the scene a little bit strong. There was always Nike. They were a little more expensive.
So I was doing a Marquette game. Kevin O'Neal's team was with, like, L.A. Gear. Remember L.A. Gear? And one of his players, I think it was Rob Lagerman, his point guard, fakes, goes up in the lane, and the sole of the shoe stays in the lane, and the rest of the shoe is still on his foot. Yeah, that company didn't last long.
See, now there's a guy, Kevin O'Neal. I love Kevin O'Neal. He's one of your best friends. He's been in our studio. He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a little Nick Saban in him, Cap. He's got a little Nick Saban in him. One guy's your best friend, the other guy's a jerk. I think you just have to, you know, perspective.
I don't think he has Nick Saban in him. He's just a little crazy at times.
Cranky at times. Okay.
Maybe a little.
Okay, maybe a little.
Anyway, you have a wonderful weekend.
You too. I will race you to Wrigley. But no, I won't race you. You'll beat me there.
I will see you
You park closer.
I will see you at Wrigley Field.
I will.
And I'll see you back here on Monday.
We'll be here. Have a great weekend.
Look forward to it. You too. Everybody have a great weekend. Jackal, you're the man, buddy. We'll see you.
See you later.